Welcome back to the Parenting Your Learning Challenge Child Telesummit. I'd like to welcome and introduce Shirley Plant. Shirley is the author of Finally, Food I Can Eat, an inspirational dietary guide and cookbook for people affected by food allergies and intolerances. She is recognized as a menu planning expert through her company Delicious Alternatives and has also written articles for EcoSense, The Celiac News, Chris Carr's Crazy Sexy Life blog, Mind Body Green, Elephant Journal, and Total Fit Magazine. Shirley has given seminars on food allergies, healthy whole cooking, and menu planning at health clinics and natural health food stores. She offers online programs like the Gluten-Free, Sugar-Free Way, and she helps people to remove gluten, dairy, and sugar from their diets the healthy way. Her yearly Eat Real Food Online Health Summit is a free 7-day summit where she and medical experts share their knowledge on how food plays a role in your health and your child's health, offering tips on the latest research and healing with food and the power of the mind-body connection. Welcome, Shirley.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. So many parents have concerns about how to feed their children healthy meals, especially when they have busy schedules or fussy eaters. Do you have some recommendations on ways that can be a bit easier for them?
For sure. I get that all the time when people come and see me. And, you know, it really does begin with the parents. It's really up to us to shop for healthy foods. And I really want to stress that. I know everybody's busy, but it is a decision, right? We make a decision that, okay, you know, because if there is junk food and candy in the house, the kids are going to eat it. You know, even we're going to eat it.
Yeah,
and it's important to, you know, I think it's important for we as parents to educate our children about the food, about prepackaged foods, that prepackaged foods is exactly that. And really, it is only to be eaten sparingly because there are no real nutrients in many of the prepackaged foods. When you think of a food that can sit on a grocery shelf for 6, 8, 10, 12 months, there's not a lot of real enzymes and health properties in that. So, you know, I really think it's a mind shift, almost like a mindset that, okay, we're really going to start to incorporate more fresh fruits and veggies, foods that come from the earth, not ones that are made in the factory. And that's where you start, by making that shift, by making that decision, wow, you know, our kids are struggling or my child is struggling with some issues. I truly believe it always comes back to the food that we are putting in our mouths and how we are absorbing those minerals from the food. So really, that's where we need to begin.
So Shirley, when parents have children who are used to the standard North American diet, I know we've discussed this in the past, are there some simple swap outs or simple things they can do to start getting their kids to make that mind shift?
I think so, because I think if you as the parents start to bring these healthy foods in, the children are going to start to notice, oh, wow, there's a shift. And then if you start to discuss why we're doing this, that, you know, this is going to help our brains, this is going to help them to feel better, or this is going to help them to calm down, or this is going to help them to go to the bathroom, or all these different things, you know, it's really going to help. And, you know, I read something the other day and I kind of tweaked it a little bit. And think about this. So whatever your child eats and however it's absorbed, that is all your child's brain has to learn, grow, behave, and develop. So if you feed them foods that turn into sugar, for example, like prepackaged foods, packaged cereals, bread, pasta, you know, those mac and cheese from a box, chips, cookies, cakes, soda, muffins, fruit juice, then that's going to turn to sugar in their body and affect the child. So if we can, as I said before, change that mindset and just start slowly, I mean, even if it's incorporating one more vegetable a day, even if you just start there, and if your kid has a bit of a sweet tooth, you know, and it hates broccoli, okay, can you start to incorporate maybe sweet potato or carrots? At least more of a veggie, you know, can you make start making more salads. Or if you are sending them to school with a sandwich that's got the you know, they're just the deli meat in it, can you slide in a piece of lettuce, you know, and just slowly, slowly start. But you do need to take away all the other junk that's in the house, because you and I know, even as adults, when we're busy and stressed, if there is junk, we just reach for it. But if there isn't, and you look around and there's just veggies and healthy alternatives, then you say, okay, yeah, tonight we're making a stir fry. Okay, let's chop the veggies. And get your kids involved. Get them to pick out the colorful fruits and veggies and, oh, look at the color of this red pepper. And look, when we open it up, look at those really neat little seeds inside. And, you know, get them into cooking, because if the child helps with food prep, they're more apt to eat it, as opposed to you just putting down something healthy in front of them and them sort of going, ew, what's this, Mom? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, I think just a lot of children need some education on nutrition. I know.
Exactly, because they don't have that.
Yeah, we like to garden, and I start herbs every spring because I use a ton of herbs. I don't like a lot of salt. And one year it was really, really surprising to me because all the kids were really excited in all the little herb plants, but were asking me what they were. And when I said that they were herbs, and so like I had basil and whatever else, they were like, really? That's that dried stuff my mom puts in our food? Like, they didn't realize those were plants.
Exactly. Like, where does it come from first? Exactly.
Yeah. And then they'll understand, and that's probably going to help, right?
Right. That's all going to help, exactly. If you start cooking with fresh herbs, exactly, instead of the sugary sauces, you know, start using some fresh herbs. That will make a difference. That's a great tip. And, you know, it will take a while. If your children are used to eating prepackaged foods and sugary foods, it's going to take a little while for their taste buds to change. You know, when I do my gluten-free, sugar-free challenge, it's amazing, even with adults, how they say, wow, you know, I am so tuned to that sweet taste, and when I don't have it, I really crave it. And the research shows that actually sugar is more addictive than cocaine. They did experiments with rats and sugar water and cocaine water, and the rats always went to the sugar water. And then they put rats in that were already addicted to cocaine, and those rats even went to the sugar water. So we know how addictive sugar is, but it's, and many times, you know, and I know we're going to talk about this next, we're going to talk about sleep and different things. A lot of times our kids are depleted in the minerals, and every time your child eats something sugary or that turns to sugar, we need certain minerals in our body to digest that sugar, to absorb it, to digest it. And so you're depleting your child's minerals every single time you give them. And I think of the holidays, Halloween and Christmas and Valentine's Day, you know, how kids always get sick a week afterwards. And that's because they have all the Halloween candy and they totally pull all their minerals, deplete their minerals from their body because they have, the body needs that to digest all that sugar. And then their immune system is low and they catch a cold or a flu or whatever. And we see it after every single holiday. So, again, you know.
I love the point that you're making about it taking time to re-educate people's palates. Because a lot of the moms we see in the clinic, they really are under a lot of stress, and their families may not have just one child. It may not be their learning challenge child that's the only child they have to care for in their family. And they feel like if they can't get it all right by just, like, throwing everything out of the pantry and bringing everything new in, and the kids go into a kind of a food culture shock, and then they say, well, they won't eat it, and I don't have time, and they get into overwhelm instead of, you know, like you're, it's going to take time. Start with one simple change a week. And, you know, in a year, you're going to see your family's diets, you know, really quite a bit more healthy. I think that's such a powerful message to give women, because there's a lot of pressure on them to be superwoman.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think the whole family will notice such a huge difference because, as you say, a lot of times there's a couple of kids in the family. And if you slowly start to just replace, maybe you get rid of the jujubes or the chips or whatever, and then you just have fresh fruit lying around or always have cut-up veggies. And you can buy prepackaged cut-up carrots. You can buy, you know, there are easier ways. And you just slowly do that. But you do it for the whole family. And you know, all of a sudden, mom is going to realize, too, that she's got more energy, that she's not nearly as stressed, because mom's probably eating the same food, right, that's not,
yep,
that's void of the minerals and nutrients that she needs. So when she starts to feel better, too, it's really going to make a difference, and she's going to say, oh, wow, you know, taking half an hour on a Sunday to do this makes a huge difference in how I feel and a huge difference in how my child feels. And it's sometimes, you know, you're right, it's like choosing, okay, well, I'm not going to watch that TV program, or I really need my husband to step up, or I really need my eldest child to help me, or, you know, and it's, I know it, each family is different, the dynamics, but sometimes it really is saying, hey, you know, we really want to do this as a family. I think it's so important that we eat a little bit better. We're just going to start here, you know, and even involve them if the children are a little bit older, then say, you know, how do you think we can start to eat better? What are your suggestions? And get them to be part of the solution and not be part of the, you know, the problem.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to sleep. I know a lot of parents say they have problems with either getting their child to go to sleep or not being able to get up for school in the morning. Do you have any ideas for good bedtime snacks?
Sure, and I just want to say that, yeah, sleep is huge because, you know, if the kids are not getting their sleep, then that's a real problem. And many kids are deficient in magnesium, so if you don't have magnesium, it's hard to go to sleep. And magnesium is a great supplement that you can talk with your doctor, your pharmacist about to start supplementing with. So that's a daily good start. And I think we want to look at what the kids are eating for dinner. So what are we eating for dinner? Are we eating those prepackaged foods? Are we eating, you know, Kraft dinner? Are we eating mostly carbs that are turning to sugar, and then your child is hungry again before bed? And then what is the bedtime snack? So are you giving them a cookie, or are they getting ice cream? Or are you making maybe some organic popcorn made in coconut oil? Because we need healthy oils. Are you giving them some carrot sticks with some hummus for a snack instead of, you know, the cookie or the candy or the little piece of chocolate before bed? Because many times it's based on the dinner. Was there enough healthy salt, some sea salt in the dinner? Are they craving salt? Is that why they're hungry? Are they dehydrated? So many kids don't drink enough water, and so coming closer to bedtime, they can't sleep. They say, Mommy, I'm hungry. Maybe they're not hungry. They may be thirsty. And, of course, you don't want to give them a big glass of water right before bed because then, you know, they may have to get up in the middle of the night and go pee. But, you know, make sure throughout the day they are getting lots of filtered water. You know, you can put some lemon in it. You could put an orange in it. A lot of kids just say, I just don't like the taste of water. And many times that's tap water. And if we can go to like a Brita filter or, you know, some type of a water filter, it's better. But, you know, you can put a slice of cucumber in their water or anything. But get them drinking water, you know, even a piece of cheese. But, you know, some parents will say, well, I give my child one of those little child's yogurts. Well, again, check the label. A lot of those fruit children yogurts have like 6 teaspoons of sugar in there. And, you know, even though it's got the protein, the sugar is going to send them reeling, and, you know, they're going to be awake at 11 o'clock going, hello, I can't go to sleep. And the other thing is healthy oils. You know, I sort of tapped on that, but healthy oils are huge. And, you know, we need fat or healthy fat. You know, there's good fat and there's bad fat. And we need, our child's brains need fat. Adults need brains. And for so long we've been told, you know, low fat, low fat. And now they're realizing that that's a big mistake. So, you know, no, we don't want the trans fats, but we want the healthy fats, the avocado, the raw nuts and seeds, the nut butters. You know, would your child have some nut butter on a piece of a little cracker or celery stick, or could you make them a small little smoothie or a homemade ice cream that's coconut milk, a few blueberries or strawberries with some nut butter? You know, that would be a much better idea before we went to bed, because you're getting the healthy fat into the body, which is going to help their brain function throughout the day. So those are sort of some of, I always think come back to look at the meal. If they've eaten a good dinner, a good healthy dinner with lots of fiber, healthy oil, a little bit of good protein, they really shouldn't need a bedtime snack. I mean, maybe okay. Something right after dinner, but they really shouldn't need it. They should feel full until breakfast time. And, you know, that's the whole thing about, you know, we want the body to fast until breakfast time. And then, again, we start the day with a healthy breakfast, not the boxed cereals or a Pop-Tart or, you know what I mean? We start with a healthy fat, a healthy protein, lots of fiber in the morning, which will then keep them going until lunch. You know, this sort of snacking all day long, we have to look at, say, hey, what's going on? What are they not absorbing? Or, and that's the other thing, are they absorbing?
Mm-hmm. Shirley, in terms of, you know, elementary age children and, you know, middle school and high school age kids, can you talk about what a healthy breakfast might look like for the needs of those different stages?
Sure. And again, it depends on the family, and it depends on, and really anything from, you know, there's nothing wrong with eggs in the morning, because you're getting your healthy protein. Some kids like eggs, some don't. They don't take that long to make, whether it's a quick omelet and you can throw some spinach in there, whether it's a poached egg. And then you want some fiber. So is there any way you can slice a tomato? Can you slice an avocado? Can you have something with it? If your child really is set on toast in the morning, can you put that nut butter on the toast so that they are getting some protein? You know, a lot of kids like those rice cakes, which if you can get the plain ones, but again, make sure it's got a nut butter on it. It's not just a rice cake with jam, because that, you know, the rice and the jam are just going to turn to sugar. Again, you could do a smoothie. Smoothies don't take that long in the morning. And if you can do something like an unsweetened almond milk or an unsweetened coconut milk with a little bit of low glycemic fruit, which would be blueberries or strawberries or raspberries, you could throw in a little bit, a quarter of an avocado. They won't even know that it's in there because they're going to taste the strawberries or the blueberries. Or you could throw in a little bit of spinach and they won't even know. And then a tablespoon of nut butter or seed butter or, you know, some type of a healthy fat. That, and lots of kids will love that. They'll think it's like a, you know, like a fruit milkshake for breakfast. I make puddings for breakfast. I love puddings for breakfast. So if I cook extra sweet potatoes at night, I will literally mix that in my high-speed blender with some coconut milk, a little cinnamon, again, maybe a tablespoon of nut butter, and that's a creamy sweet potato pudding. Put some nuts on top of it. You know, if they want to have their oatmeal, if you're sort of, that's what you're used to doing in the morning, again, add something to the oatmeal and not sugar. Add some coconut oil, some coconut milk, some seeds, some nuts, some flax seeds, something, and try and do the big rolled oats, not the quick oatmeal, again, yeah. Because then it'll just take lower to break down. So, you know, we always want to be adding. So, you know, I know some parents will do the quick oatmeal and then they put brown sugar on it, and then you think, eesh, that's just going to send them reeling. And then you're sending them to school and expect them to sit quiet and learn, and that's really hard for them.
You were talking about that mind shift, and I wonder if you could talk about what mindset is helpful for parents to adopt when they're beginning to make improvements for their children through nutrition.
I think the biggest one is simply knowing that the diet, the food that you put into yourself and your child's body makes a huge difference. You know, that literally that statement that I read earlier, the food that goes into your child is what is developing their brain and allowing them to be who they are. And so many times, I can't count how many times parents have come to me and they have said to me, I just don't have time to cook healthy. And then they come back again because they're at their wit's end, because either the child is on so much medication now and then there's side effects from the medication, or nothing is working. And I keep saying, please come back to the diet, come back to the food. And so then they sort of say, okay, you know, give me a few simple recipes that I can do. I will start with that. Or, you know, we start with removing the gluten, the sugar, and the dairy. And, you know, I have parents that children are on the autism spectrum, and they come back to me and they say, my child is calm. I can't believe that it only was due to food, and as you said, implementing some proper supplements, some healthy oils. Like, why didn't the doctor tell me this 10 years ago? And it's unfortunate because, you know, doctors don't get a lot of nutrition education at medical school. They just don't. And right. So that's not their first line of education. It's meds, or it's, and, you know, I have this discussion with doctors at CHEO here in Ottawa, and they see the difference, and they sort of say to the parents, well, what are you doing differently? And they say, well, we changed their diet. They're eating whole foods. They're eating healthy fats. And they're going, really? Like, really? And, it really works.
When you talk about removing gluten, dairy, and sugar from a diet, I can feel, you know, the clients that we would see in our clinic going into a resistance pattern over that, feeling like my kids are going to have a fit, I'm not going to find anything to eat, I don't even know why that's so important. Why are those three things really important to focus on?
Well, and it depends where your child's at and what, you know, first of all, I have to say what issues they're having. So both, all three, gluten, dairy, and sugar, are highly inflammatory foods. And inflammation, we know, affects everything and is the cause of almost every single medical condition in the body. So a lot of times when I see parents with children that have either learning disabilities or are on the autism spectrum, that's the first thing that we go to. And many, if you go to an environmental doctor or a specialist, they will say that as well. You know, let's try this. But if the parents are just going, oh my goodness, I just can't possibly do that, you know, are you going to give me 100% that it's going to work? Well, no, because we have to rule out what's going on. Is it that they're deficient in something? Is it that they have food allergies? Because that's huge too. A lot of kids that have issues, it's because they're eating a food that's reacting. So is it food allergies? Is it that they're deficient? Is it that the certain foods are causing reactions? So then maybe we just start with sugar, because that's huge, right? It's in everything. So we just start by teaching the parents to start reading labels. And to just start incorporating more real food into the diet. We just start there. Okay, fine. Still buy your bread, buy your yogurt, but maybe switch to kefir or an all-natural yogurt and put a piece of fruit in it for your child instead of buying those little, you know, kiddie yogurts that are just chock full of sugar. Take out the pop. You know, we're going to have only water, and as I said, maybe we put a nice slice of orange in it. Just start there. And just slowly begin to change their taste buds. You know, I think it's really important to find out, are they on any supplements? Because if they've been eating this type of food for a long time, they really, the North American diet does not give us enough of the vital nutrients and minerals that we need. So that's something to look at too. And it's finding either a functional medical practitioner that can do this, a nutritionist that can do this, a naturopathic doctor.
Right.
You may have to make that decision and say, hey, okay, we love our GP. We go to him when we have a cold or we break our arm. but we're going to go and see a specialist or a doctor that's going to look at the whole body. It's going to look at the role that food plays and supplement plays and, you know, help our child get to where they need to be. Because unfortunately, we just don't have that with many of the practitioners that we go to. It's simply, well, let's try this drug or let's try this drug. And then, as you know, there are side effects to drugs that sometimes it suppresses the appetite, they don't feel well, they don't poop every day. I mean, it's tough. I know it's really tough. But again, as you said, it's coming back to that mindset and just saying, wow, okay, I truly believe that this is going to make a difference. I need to work with someone who's going to help me with some basic, simple recipes that we can do as a family, that's a start. And then we build on that, as you said. In 6 months, all of a sudden, then we start adding some more. And we have less and less of the packaged foods. You know, you get a slow cooker and you put the stuff in it the night before, and then you plug it in the morning when you go to work, and it's done. You know, or you get a rice cooker, and same thing. It's done. It's not spending an hour cooking every single day. We don't need to do that. And there's so many options available today to make salads easier, to make shopping real food easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that when we had spoken about doing the interview, I had said to you that in our clinic, so many moms are looking for school snack ideas and lunch ideas that are quick, easy, and really healthy. And I understand that you've risen to that challenge and put together a fabulous free gift for our listeners. Can you please talk about it and how they can access it?
I have, and so I think you're going to feature it just underneath maybe the interview. And again, exactly, I've just provided some helpful tips, lunch and snack ideas that are easy. You know, there are some companies that make great soups that are full of real food, and so I've listed those companies. And again, just ideas for quick, healthy things that you can make or that you can buy. You can buy healthy hummus. You can buy, you know, healthy snacks. It's just knowing what to look for when you go grocery shopping and maybe, you know, sticking to the outer aisles instead of the inner aisles. So, yes, that's all there in the free download.
And so, Shirley, just, you know, for people who want to hop right on that right now, where would they hop on to see that?
Oh, it's going to go out in the email.
Yeah, it's going out in the email.
In the email that you got to connect to this interview phone call.
Right.
Okay,
it
so
should
Dana
be
has
there.
That all Dana's the tech, and she has that in hand.
Is it also on your website, or is it only going to be in the email, Shirley?
It's only for your listeners, so they will hop on that link that I gave you, and then, yeah, it's accessible to them.
Okay. Yeah, and it's exclusive, and it's fabulous. And go check it out, because Shirley has some of the best ideas going. Thank you so much, Shirley, for joining us today. I know this has been so valuable to so many people.
Thank you. I've loved being here, and I hope, you know, it's given your parents some hope that they can do it and that food really does make a difference in how your child feels.